Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Atchilla. We're now in Masachet Bav Metzia Daf Tzadi Amud Bet at the very bottom of the Amud, continuing with our investigation into the law of Chasima, the prohibition against muzzling an animal while it's working in the threshing of the grain. Tanu Rabbanan, Chosem et ha-parah v'hamezaveg b'kilayim. So now we get two parallel halachot. One is Chasima, and the other one is putting two animals that are not of the same kind together to work. If you put the muzzle on the animal, or you put the two animals and tie them together as a team, but don't do anything more, patur. Why? The one who gets makot is the one who actually threshes with the muzzled ox, actually leads, let's say, an ox and a donkey together. Itmar chasma bekol v'hniga bekol. Let's say that you had an ox that was muzzled, and then you let it. You yelled at it or something like that and made it walk and caused it to thresh, or you caused the two animals to walk, but you did it just by your voice. So if machlok or Yochanan or Shlokish, whether or not you're liable. Rabbi Yochanan amar chayav, why akimat piv, or in other versions, akimat fatav, havim ma'aseh. Moving your lips and making the statement, or yelling, or whatever it is considered a maaseh, and therefore you get makot, because, of course, you need a maaseh for makot. Shlokesh mar patur, why? Call a law of a maaseh. Your voice is not called a maaseh. Now, there is a famous exception, perhaps, to this rule of lav shen maaseh and lokin alav, and that is the law of tmura, of orally switching the kedush of one animal onto another one, substitution korban. Eight, Rabbi Yochanan or Shlokesh, Rabbi Yochanan challenged the Shlokesh from the first Mishnah in tmura. Lo shadam rishoy lahamir. The Mishnah says hakol mamirin. Not that you're allowed to, elashim hamir mumar. If you do it, you're successful. Visofeg et arbaim, and you get makot. You see, you get makot for speech. So speech is considered a maaseh. So Marla Rish Lakish's answer was, hamani Rabbi Yehuda hi. That is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. Damar lav shein bo maaseh lo kin alav. Rabbi Yehuda's of the opinion that you could get makot for a lav shein bo maaseh. Now before we jump too far with this, we have to realize that lav shein bo maaseh is not just of one standard or one level. There are different standards of ein bo maaseh. There are things that are totally in your heart. There are things that you say that have just a general sort of statement. And then there are things that you say that have a particular formula to them. So things in your heart, for instance, there's a lav of lo tisna tachicha b'lavecha. There are things that you say that could be of a very general nature, like rechilut. And then there are things that you say that have a very specific formula, or at least a specific result associated with them, and that would be tmura. And so it's possible that Rabbi Yehuda would say that lav shein b'maaseh and lokin alav does not extend all the way to sina, for instance, balev, but maybe only to things in which you speak, and perhaps even only to things in which your statement is of a particular formula, like the issue of false testimony, as an example, or tmura. All right, umi matzim umelak Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yochanan's comeback, or our comeback against Rish Lakish's answer is, how could you possibly say that the first Mishnah in tmura is authored by Rabbi Yehuda? After all, v'haktani reisha kol mamirin achad anashim v'achad anashim. The beginning of the Mishnah is everyone is able to imamir. V'avinan by, in our traditional, unanimously accepted interpretation of that phrase, is hakol latuyemai latuyeyoresh, that even an heir could be mamir. Meaning, if a man set aside a korban, then died, tzarachat ador asham, and died, his son could now take that korban as if he's the owner and do tmura. So according to the Mishnah and the way we interpret the Mishnah in tmura, that works. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that a yoresh does not stand in lieu of the original person who made the korban, and therefore he can't do tmura. Parenthetically, he also doesn't do smicha when he brings the korban because he's not the bialim. So you see that our Mishnah, the Mishnah at the beginning of tmura, cannot be Rabbi Yehuda, thus establishing that the Mishnah is following the opinion that lav shein bo maaseh ein lo kin alav, but speech is a maaseh. Supporting Rabbi Yochanan. The answer is, Haitana, Savalek Kavate Bechada, Paligale Bechada. The Tana, the author of the Mishnah in Tmura, accepts Rabbi Yehuda's position when it comes to Lav Shein Maaseh, but does not accept his position when it comes to the inability of the Yoresh to be Mamir. Okay, Tana Rabban, Hosein et ha-para v'dashba, lokeh. Good, that makes sense. V'shalem arba kavin l'para, v'shalem kavin l'chamor. And you have to feed the animal what you deprived it of. But that violates a general principle we have that's dealt with chiefly in Masechet Makot and the third parak of Ketubot, which is double liability for one act. If you theoretically steal something on Shabbat and the exact act of taking possession of it is also the act of Hotzah, for which you are at least theoretically Chayav Mitah, you're not Chayav for the Gneva, because Eino Lokeh U'Meshalem, Eino Meit U'Meshalem, Eino Lokeh U'Meit. You can't get two punishments for the same thing. So how could you get Makot for Chasima and still owe the animal the food? So we have three answers to this. Amar Abaye, Haman, Rameirhi. He says very simply, it's authored by Rav Meir, Damar lo kel mishalem. Rav Meir says the only exception, the only place in which we say you can't get double punishment is meitu mishalem. But lo kel mishalem you can get. Rav Amar et non asurat Torah afilu ba limo. Rav pulls it from a different direction. He says, when the Torah prohibits bringing an et non zonah, meaning a gift that was given to a zonah as a korban, that's even true if the relation with the zonah was something for which you chayav mitah. In other words, this isn't an issue of tashlumin, where I'm liable for one punishment and for a less severe punishment, and the greater punishment trumps the lesser one or subsumes it. Here it's a definitional thing. I'm obligated to take care of feeding my animals. I worked the animal, I didn't feed it, now I've got to feed it. Separately, I get makot for chasima, but the two are not related. Rav Papa Amar, he has a different explanation. Mishat mishichai chai b'mzonotahau milka loloki ad shat chasima. A Papa gives the answer that most closely associates with the general approach we take when dealing with problems like this in the issue of Kamlai B'Rabimineh, or Risha Achat, which is that the two actions are not really simultaneous. When are you liable to take care of the animal's food? The minute that you started leading it. When are you liable for Makot? The minute that you actually muzzled it. Not at the same time, not at the same conceptual moment at least, and therefore, you're liable for both. Okay, Amarav Papa. Hani mili baumi noi de vera papa bar abba pashto luhun li sura. I was asked these two questions in the Beis Medrash. I answered both of them li isur. Chare kehilchata v'chare delav kehilchata. One of them was la halacha. One of them was not la halacha. Baumi noi, they asked me first of all, mahu lalush taista b'chalavim. Are you allowed to knead dough with milk? Pashto luhun li sura kehilchata. I told them it's usur, and I was right about that. D'tanya, how do I know? D'ein lashin ta'isa b'chalav. I have a bright that says that. V'imlash kol apat kula asurai. Not allowed to eat it at all. Made beher galaver, because it'd be too easy to start making milchik bread and then by accident eating it with meat. Kayotze bo. Similarly, we say ein tashin ta'tanur ba'alya. You're not allowed to clean off the inside of a tanur with a lamb's tail. V'imtash kol apat kula asurai. Anything you bake in there is asur. Ad shasik ta'tanur, until you burn out the tanur and burn out the taste. Again, for the same reason. All right, good. V'idach ba'uminai, the other question they asked me was, ma'olachnis min v'she'inu mino l'dir. Can you put two animals that are not of the same kind, that if they were to mate, it would be a violation of kilayim, to put them into the corral together? U'pashlu l'isura. I told them it was also, d'lav kilchata, but that's not the halacha. Why? D'amar Shmuel, what did Shmuel say? U'v'menafim. This is the sugya, the famous sugya at the end of the first parak of Makot, that talks about a beit din that would kill every 7 years or every 70 years, being a murderer's beit din, and the way that they kept from killing was when they would ask witnesses about a capital crime, they would ask them for such detailed information it's impossible to know. For instance, if it was a case of murder, they would say, can you testify that the victim was not a treifa just before he killed him? Of course, you can't testify to that. So how would they do it with arayot? They would say, did you see, can be chol b'shofer, did you literally see did you directly and explicitly see the act, which is almost impossible. And Shmuel's answer was no. B'menafim ad shiru k'derach ha-menafim. The minute that people look like they're having relations, that's a good enough testimony. But b'kilayim, when it comes to mating species that aren't together, ad shiachnis k'michovish faferet. You don't violate it until you actually physically direct the intercourse. All right, so therefore, I was wrong, and it's certainly fine to let these animals be in the deer. If something happens, not your problem. Meitiv Rabach Devoy Barami challenged him, Ilu Namar Behem Tachalo Tarbiya. Look at the pasuk on the page. Had the text only said Behem Tachalo Tarbiya, you're not allowed to mate your animals. I would think it means you can't hold down one animal while its mate is mating with it. The perfectly proper sheep and ram, for instance. Tamalomar Kilayim. Therefore, the Torah says Kilayim. Meaning that that's the prohibition. So what's the parallel? Doesn't that tell you that with kilayim, it's not just forcing the intercourse, it is even just holding the animal down while it's happening, and that's the prohibition? No. My achiza, hachnosa, achiza really is a euphemism for directing the intercourse. For my karla, achiza, leishnamalia. Rabbi Yehuda says, in spite of the fact that we say if you see animals mating, you should look away, you're allowed to physically direct the mating of animals. There's no priesthood involved. Why my time? You're so busy trying to get this job done, you're not going to be distracted and have inappropriate thoughts. Meiti Rav Achtavoy Baramis Rav Achtavoy brings the same challenge that we saw. Ilu nemar behem techalot tabiya, hitim elochoz adam atabim akadei shalal zachar, tabon lomar kilayim. Oh, but now we learn that drasha differently. Kilayim hu da asur hamin mino shari. So kilayim is what's asur, so the parallel, which is a proper animal, is mutter. And what is it that's mutter? Min mino nami achiza ina chrasalo. That means just to hold them down, but not to actually force it. And Rav Yehuda had said you could even direct it. So my achiza chnosav, my kar leachiza leishtamali. And again, we say that that's just a euphemism. Really, achiza means to direct it. Rashi hamilta boy minay devei Rav Nechemya reish galuta. So Rashi tells a similar story that he was asked a question, and he answered to lo kehilchata. Maulachnis min umino vishen umino ladir. Can you put, let's say, a sheep and a ram and a donkey together in the corral? Kev and dika mine bata mine garer. Do you say that the sheep's going to naturally hang out with the ram because it's its own species? Maybe even that's prohibited. I told him it was asur, but I was wrong. The reason I did it was because I was afraid the slaves watching this would get all parutz as a result, and but that was wrong. Okay, the next Mishnah, a very short piece. Whether you're working with your hands or with your feet, like stomping, or just carrying stuff, you could still eat. But why is that mentioned? Because Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, Achi Yasebi Adav Raglav, you really have to be working with your feet and your hands. Now, my time, or why is it the case that if you any sort of work, you get to eat? Whatever your work is. So Yehuda Omer, Achi Yasebi Adav Raglav, why my time? Where do you get that from? Kishor, because he gets it from shore. After all, shore is our model, if you recall back at the beginning of the Sugya. And my shore, Achi Yasebi Adav Raglav, how does the shore work? On all fours. Afpoel Achi Yasebi Adav Raglav. Therefore, a worker also has to be using his feet, which could mean moving from place to place, and his hands, like harvesting. Boy, Rabba Baravuna. So Rabba Baravuna asked an interesting question. Dash Bavazin Ratani Golim. Let's say you had fowl that were doing your threshing, the Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Maru. According to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, who said that the shore is the model, would it work? Pachol Kochol Bayinan. Do you say that the shore, model of the shore is that he's using all of his appendages, and therefore, Vahayika, they're using all their appendages? Maybe you need four appendages. Vahaleika, these they don't have, they only have two. Take, unclear. Now remember, we've been talking the entire time about working in the field. We forget that workers who are working in a wine press are also allowed to drink wine. So when workers walk straight into the wine press, then they can eat grapes because they're carrying grapes. The minute they crisscross in the gat, meaning they go in both directions, to and fro and back and forth, then they can both eat grapes and drink wine because now it's clear that their work is also working in the press, and then they're allowed to eat from the wine. But remember, if they're only working with grapes, like bringing the grapes in, they're not allowed to drink from the wine because that's a separate thing. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up at Hayah Oseh B'Teinim in the next podcast. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.